when
Atmanam,
Supreme Soul,
Abhigyaya,
forgetting
Bhagavantam,
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Param,
Supreme,
Guru,
Instructor,
Purusha,
Living Entity,
two.
And then
Visajjeta,
gives himself up,
Gunesh,
to the modes,
Prakriti,
of material nature,
Svadrik,
one who can see his own welfare,
Guna
Abhimani, and identified with the modes of nature. Translation of living entity by nature has minute independence to choose his own good or bad fortune. But when he forgets his Supreme Master, the Personality of God, and he gives himself up to the modes of material nature. Being influenced by the modes of material nature, he identifies himself with the body and, for interest of the body, becomes attached to various activities. Sometimes he's under the influence of the mode of ignorance, sometimes the mode of passion, sometimes the mode of goodness. The living entity thus gets different types of bodies under the modes of material nature. Purport, these different types of body are explained in Bhagavad Gita. Living entity of material nature follows the ways of life and joins the modes of material nature. This is due to its association with the material nature. Thus, it leads to good and evil among various species. Because of associating with the modes of nature, the living entity gets a variety of bodies from these 8,400,000 forms. It's clearly explained herein that the living entity has a little independence indicated by the word Svadrik, meaning one who can see his own welfare. The living entity's constitutional position is very minute, and he can be misled in his choice. He may choose to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A servant may desire to start his own business and imitate his master. And when he chooses to do so, he may leave the protection of his master. Sometimes he is a traitor, sometimes he is successful. Sometimes the living entity, part and parcel of Krishna, starts his own business to compete with the Lord. There are many competitors out to attain the Lord's position, but to become like the Lord is not at all possible. Thus there is a great struggle for existence with the material world as different parties try to imitate the Lord. Material bondage is caused by deviation from the service of the Lord and attempts to imitate him. The Lord is imitated by Mayavadi philosophers who try to become one with the Lord in an artificial way. When the Mayavadi philosophers think of themselves as liberated, they're under the delusion of mental concoction. No one can become one with or equal to God. To imagine this is to continue one's bondage in material existence. Translation of living entity by nature has minute independence to choose its own good or bad fortune, but when he forgets his Supreme Master, the Personality of God, he gives himself up unto the modes of material nature. Influenced by the modes of nature, he identifies himself with the body, and for the interest of the body, becomes attached to various activities. Sometimes he is influenced by the mode of ignorance, sometimes the mode of passion, sometimes the mode of goodness. The living entity thus gets different types of bodies under the modes. So, this is describing the position of the living entity in the material world. In the story of Pranjana, we have Pranjana living in a city, and then he has his senses and the gates of the body, etc., and goes out and tries to enjoy it. So, and then of course there was the, that directly did not symbolize the gunas at all, but then the example of going in the chariot was there, and in that example, the gunas were mentioned. So here, there is a Narada Muni enlarges upon this idea of the gunas and their function in relation to the living entity. So, the first problem of the jiva is mentioned here, and that is he does not know the Supreme Lord, who is the Supreme Instructor, Param Guru. He doesn't know that he is the person in control. He doesn't know he is the person who is going to give all enjoyment to the jiva. So, this is his ignorance. And consequently, he becomes attached to the gunas in the material world. He is looking for enjoyment. And he does not look to the Supreme Lord. Instead, he looks in the material world. So, of course, previously, in that example, there was the unknown friend. So, the jiva does not know the Supreme Lord. And instead, he is enjoying in the material world. So in that sense, we've been saying that part is represented in the main story. So not knowing the Supreme Lord, he tries to enjoy in his material body, and he does that through the gunas of property. So the guna, of course, means a quality. And objects in this material world have qualities which are perceived by the senses, by the eye and the nose and the ear and the tongue and the hand, touch. So with our five different senses, we detect the qualities of objects in this material world. And through that we get some sort of knowledge, and through that we also get some sort of pleasure or distress. So, what are these qualities? These, of course, there's so many different qualities in the material world, but ultimately, we can classify them according to the three gunas. So we have sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic qualities. So why are the qualities all classed in this way? It's because they indicate certain destinations for the jivas who become involved in those gunas. So they have particular qualities, but then by attachment to those qualities, the jiva ends up in different positions in the material world. So that, of course, is mentioned later on. If one wants a proper destination, a higher destination, he must contact objects which have sattvic qualities. And of course, if he's more ignorant, then he will choose rajagun or tamagun things, and then he will get lower destinations in the future. Unfortunately, living here, he doesn't know about this. He doesn't know about his future destinations in different bodies. As was the case of Pranjana, he was not aware that he would get kicked out of his body and then enter into another body. But this process goes on. And how do we get another body? It's according to gunas. According to the predominating gunas. And we have certain types of actions we do and certain attractions in this material world. And consequently, this will determine our next body and our next body, etc. So that is one of the important factors in the gunas. It determines our future. So here the jiva is called swadrik, which literally means one who sees by himself, a self-seer. And so in other words, we have our own consciousness. Sometimes the word self-illuminating is also used, svaprakasha. He reveals himself. So that is the nature of the jiva. It is, to reveal an object, we need light. It was dark out, we can't see the object. So the revelation of an object depends upon something else, light. But the jiva is revealed by itself. It is self-aware. It does not require something else to illuminate it. So the jiva has self-awareness, which other objects don't have. That's of course the definition of consciousness. Consciousness means you're also aware of yourself. So the jiva is known as self-conscious. Sometimes that is represented by calling the jiva like light, jyoti. He is jyoti. Why? Because jyoti also is self-revealing. It reveals, a flame reveals itself. It doesn't require another flame to reveal it. And it also reveals other things. So similarly, our consciousness reveals ourself, and our consciousness also reveals objects in this world. So that is why the Atma is often compared to Jyoti, or light, because of that particular quality. So that, of course, is inherent in the Jiva. At the same time, we have to understand that though he is self-conscious, he is not completely independent. So he has that self-consciousness by which he understands himself. At the same time, he is not independent. He is also dependent upon the Supreme Lord. So yes, he is conscious in that sense. He has that independence of seeing himself and being aware of himself and seeing objects in this world. That much he could do. But he's not completely independent. Supreme Lord, on the other hand, is independent. He, of course, also is Svadrik, or Jyoti. He's aware of himself and he's aware of other things. He's a conscious entity also. But there's a big difference between the two. And that is that his consciousness extends everywhere. And it is all perfect. Whereas that of the Jiva isn't. Yes, he's aware of himself to some degree, and he's also aware of things in this world to some degree, but not completely. So that means that the Jiva can be subject to ignorance. He can not be aware of himself properly, and he cannot be aware of these objects in the world properly. So this is the possibility of the Jiva. So those Jivas who are subjected to this ignorance, those are the Jivas in the material world. So they don't see themselves properly, and they don't see the things in this material world properly. So what do they see themselves as? They see themselves as the center of enjoyment, they see themselves as a body, and they see the objects in this material world as objects of enjoyment for themselves. That's the summary of what the Jiva does. So this is the nature of the Jiva in the material world, and therefore he is ignorant of that Supreme Lord and his position. And of course it says here is Param Gurum. He is the Supreme Instructor, the Supreme Guru. So Jiva is not aware that the real source of knowledge is the Supreme Lord. That though we have some capacity for knowledge, ultimately the real knowledge must come from the Lord himself. Our knowledge is incomplete. So, living entity therefore is stuck within the material world, in its material body, and gunas are inherent in the material world. You cannot separate prakriti from gunas. If we look at the evolution of matter, first there is prakriti, and Supreme Lord glances at it, sticks the jivas in, and then it transforms into mahatattva, and then it transforms and transforms, and then it becomes ahankara, and then ahankara divides up into sattva, rajas, tamas, and then we get the mind, the senses, and the gross material elements, according to gunas, sattva-guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna. So, prakriti has inherent, it does have gunas within it, but they're not really apparent until the Lord glances and puts the jiva inside material nature. Then sattva-guna manifests in mahatattva. That transforms into rajaguna, something called sutra, and then it transforms into ahankara, tamaguna. So at the very beginning, we see the manifestation of the gunas within prakriti. And then out of that, we get all the material elements, etc., and whatever. And everything is in the gunas. The mind, the senses, and the sense objects, and the elements, all within gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. And then we have bodies made out of senses and mind, and intelligence, and whatever, elements. Also made out of gunas again. Everything made out of gunas. We cannot escape gunas. Everything is made out of gunas in the material world. All the elements are made out of gunas, and the senses and everything. All gunas. So we are functioning within gunas at all times. As Bhagavad Gita says, the gunas keep changing. It's never stable. Sometimes rajaguna is prominent, sometimes sattva-gun is prominent, sometimes tamo-gun is prominent. They keep shifting around. It is the nature of the material world. So we never get a very stable state. But one thing we know for certain is that the tendency ultimately in the material world is to end up in tamo-gun. So therefore we have the different ages. We have satya-yuga, which is sattvic, and then gradually it dwindles down into kali-yuga, which is tamasic. And then it gets restored again. The Lord restores it to sattva-gun and goes down again. So, and then at the end of the day, Brahma, everything ends up at night, everything tamasic again, everybody goes to sleep. Yeah? So the tendency is to end up in a tamasic state again. And of course, at the pralaya, at the end of the universe, everything again destroyed. Tamas is prominent. So, therefore, the gunas are constantly changing in the material world with a tendency towards tamas. So this is not a very good picture for the living entity, because tamagun ultimately leads to hellish existence, etc. And you go downwards instead of upwards. So it's very difficult for the jiva in the material world. Tendency, if you just leave it to material nature, is that everybody's going to end up in tamagun. Everyone will end up in a very miserable, violent, ignorant state, animalistic state. So, to counteract that, this of course is the nature of matter. Matter is inert ultimately. There has to be some counteraction to help the jiva in the material world. So the Lord makes arrangement for that. So therefore he has this arrangement of yugas where he restores sattva-gun and gradually goes down or whatever. Then he has makes systems like the Varnashram system to implement progression in the gunas from tamo-gun to sattva-gun, and to preserve and try to preserve law and order so that sattva-gun can become more prominent. So this is another way in which the Lord makes arrangements. And of course, the Lord gives scriptures. He gives knowledge by which the jiva can understand his position in the material world that is all hopeless within the gunas. The Lord makes arrangements for the jiva in spite of the fact that the gunas are always pushing the jiva here and there, and he ends up in a very hopeless state. The hope for the jiva is when he becomes a human being, then his quotient of intelligence is enough that he actually can utilize his free will properly. In other words, he can choose. So here it says living in by nature as minute infants to choose his own good or bad fortune. Well, that's not so for the animals. They can't do that. They don't have that independence to choose. When one becomes a human being, then he has the ability to choose. But unfortunately, most Jews end up in ignorance and they don't choose again, because ignorance means your choices are pretty stupid. If we're a tamo-gun, we're quite limited in our choices, because the ignorance overcomes our discretion. So we make bad choices all the time. Nevertheless, because we're human beings, we have to suffer for that and get karma, because we're supposed to do things properly. So the arrangement for tamo-gun people in the material world is let them follow higher instructions. So that is why the sudras and the varnashram system just follow people above them. And they don't make their own decisions. Let other people help them make their decisions. So this is the arrangement that is made. And of course, ultimately it's all based upon scripture. In this way there is some hope for the people in tamo-gun to gradually rise up. And when they get to sattva-gun and then to jnana, and they can understand they're not the body, they're the spirit soul, and they can get scripture and whatever, and then they can get liberated from the material world. So the other thing that the Supreme Lord gives to help the jiva when he's wandering around in the gunas as a human being is the process of bhakti. So, unlike the varnashram system, which kind of pulls you up gradually, birth after birth through the gunas, bhakti pulls you up immediately, pulls you out of the gunas immediately. So that is why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, anyone can take to the process of bhakti, the women, Vaishya, Sudras, etc. And Bhagavan, of course, is just lechas and chandalas and dog eaters also can take through the process of bhakti. And they end up superior to everybody in the Varnashram system. They're beyond everybody else. They've already accomplished whatever everyone else has accomplished. Whatever the Brahman has accomplished by lifetimes of tapasya is already there in the chandala, who has pronounced the name of the Lord once. And so the Supreme Lord penetrates into the material world, and that is represented through his name and the process of bhakti, which carry the shakti of the Lord. So it is the Lord who can deliver the jivas from the material world, no matter what guna. This is the process recommended in the Bhagavatam, that we do have other processes like Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Astanga Yoga. Ultimately, the process to follow is Bhakti Yoga. And whatever guna a person is in, the process of bhakti has that power to pull them out of the gunas completely, and he becomes nirguna, beyond the gunas, by this process. So, though the gunas are always operating in the material world, by bhakti one transcends that.
Living in the department of Asala Krishna starts his own business to compete with the Lord. The question arises like the competition takes place in the middle world. Now, how is the jiva aware of the Lord existence? He has not seen the Lord before.
How is he aware of?
He wants to compete with the Lord. Somebody wants to compete with somebody, he must be knowing his nature.
That is figurative in one sense. He would have to know the Lord to compete with them. So basically, the jiva in the material world is simply trying to enjoy for himself. That is a competition with the Lord, though he doesn't know about the Lord.
But Svadrikam is, he knows about himself, he doesn't know the Lord immediately.
He is aware of himself, self-aware by nature. But even that self-awareness is covered over. So his self-awareness is transferred into the false ego, and he thinks, I am a body. So the self-awareness is still there, in the sense that we are aware of ourselves, but it gets mixed up with our material body, and we think we're the material body. So that svadrik nature is still there, but it is covered by ignorance. Whereas something like a flower cannot even have a hankara, cannot even come to the stage of thinking it is something else. What to speak of thinking it is itself. It cannot think of it being something else even. So it has no consciousness at all.
He was previous karma, will have any influence on the jiva's present births, gunas?
Well, yeah, the things are carried over. If you have attachment to one guna, then that guna is going to be prominent in your next life also. And the acts you do will curate. If you do tamogun acts, then next life obviously is going to be miserable. If you do sattogun acts, then you get more enjoyment.
Atman is compared to light flame. The flame doesn't have consciousness.
Well, it's only a comparison. Just like we use the sun and the sun rays and things to represent the Lord and the three features, but obviously it's matter. It's only a material example. That's all. But it's a convenient one in the material world because we see that light reveals itself and reveals other things, so therefore we use it in that sense.
Another line purpose is, material bonding is called deviation from the service of the Lord. That comes to immediately. The service is deviating with it. It is continuing service and it's top service.
What's that?
Prabhupada mentions that the material bonding is caused by deviation from the service of the Lord. And this jiva has stopped his service?
No, it just means we're not doing service.
He was doing the self-service before and it's gone.
No.
The Atma is by nature swadhara. Without the help of the scripture and the spiritual master, it is hopeless.
Yeah, because he's ultimately dependent upon the Lord anyway. So, in the material world, ultimately, any spiritual progress is ultimately dependent upon the Supreme Lord in some aspect. So he must get mercy to get elevated and whatever. On his own, he cannot do that. So the mercy may be through paramatma or whatever, maybe through external sources like devotees. And even it can be, the mercy can be manifested in other forms, such as kings instituting varnashram dharma on a lower level. and like whatever on different levels is there. So it's all helpful to the jiva to raise his consciousness. But if he struggles on his own, it is haphazard. Sometimes they may get it right, sometimes they're going to get it wrong, so they struggle.
What is the function of the sutra?
It's just a stage, it's rajasic, where we have mantapa as sattvic predominating, and then that transforms into rajasic state called sutra, and then it turns into tamasic state called ahankara. Then when it gets to the ahankara state, then it divides up again into rajas, tamas, and sattva, and we get the material things.
How many states are sequential.
Yeah. Of course, that is a very broad category. So obviously, there must be many subdivisions.
This universe, or there are many universes.
Everywhere.
Come from the ball universe.
Transformation meaning?
From sattva to rajagun, it has to change nature. Is there any personality involved in that?
In the beginning, no. The Lord has to instigate. So he glances over material nature to cause that transformation to take place. Once we have material worlds, or universes, then within that, we do have devatas and others in charge of different things in the material world, which is influences the gunas, of course.
Thanks.